This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Good morning in the Next Title studio this morning. We're going to be talking about the We the People 4th of July Liberty Day Parade. I love that name just because it kind of says it all right there. And
patriotic.
Exactly. Parade Committee Vice President David Barrett is here along with event coordinator Natalie Boston. How are things going?
It is going well, and we like that name too because this is the community's parade, and we are here to invite the people out and both to come watch it and get involved, be a part of it.
And it's called the 4th of July Parade because obviously it's on the 4th of July, which
surprise,
is this Tuesday.
It is going to be the 4th of July.
What time does it start?
The parade is at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the route.
The route begins at 10th and Jefferson in downtown Boise. It goes along Jefferson right in front of the Capitol building and then turns south on 4th Street, goes up to Bannock for a bit, and then returns on Bannock all the way back to 11th Street.
Now, this year's parade theme is The Good in America. Did you have to search long to find the good, or was it just really apparent right there?
It was laying right there on the ground.
Well, you know, there is a lot of good in America. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about, in your talk program here, you probably hear a lot of contentious things out there, you know, and it's good for people to voice their opinions on different topics and issues. And it seems like of late there's been a rise of that kind of a thing. And I think we do need to take time to step back and say, you know, there is good in this country.
Yeah.
And there are good things in this country. There's good service organizations, community activities. And it's a time to celebrate the fact that who we are as Americans. It's like a birthday party.
Yeah.
When you have a birthday party in your family, you kind of set aside the differences and you say, hey, let's talk about what's good about this individual here. What's good about America?
Yeah,
there's a lot.
It's what, our 241st birthday this year, isn't it?
Yeah. Number 241.
That's math.
It's always, 4th of July is not the 4th of July in my mind without a parade. Got to have a parade in there somewhere. Was there ever a doubt about maybe not having a parade?
Well, that has come and gone at different times. In fact, when my family basically stepped in and took responsibility for the parade about 14 years ago, it was because the parade was almost not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we've had our ups and downs. We're on a pretty good plateau at the moment, and we're excited about this parade.
Now, the parade is just 5 days away, but actually entries are still open. What does somebody have to do if they think they'd like to be part of it?
Yeah, so entries are still open through Monday the 3rd. The easiest way to enter is to go online to our website, libertydayparade.com, and fill out the entry form. We get it processed immediately. And as soon as you send your payment in, that solidifies your spot, and then you just get excited for parade day.
What kind of entries are you talking about? What sorts of things would you like to see in the parade?
Yeah, we've got different levels. The smallest one is just a walking group.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we've had unicycles and people that just walk through and pass out candy. I guess a smaller group. And then you can have a single car.
Mm-hmm.
The next one up is multiple cars for a nonprofit organization. And then our highest level is a commercial float, which we've had several of in the past, and that's fun to get businesses out there and involved and getting to see people and talk to people and get their names out there.
And they can always use volunteers.
We can always use volunteers. There's a variety of areas to help out with volunteers. Patrolling the barriers. We, a section of the city is going to be blocked off, helping us set up, clean up. An exciting part for people that want to be right in the parade is we got banners that they carry through. We have donation barrels that they can push through, be right in with the crowd. There's a lot of things that volunteers can step in on.
How do you inform the committee that you'd like to be a volunteer?
That you can also do through our website, libertydayparade.com. There's a volunteer form there. And right now we're just kind of generating interest and getting our team together. And pretty soon we'll start sending out individual jobs and getting people specifically honed in on what they're going
to
be doing.
Now, this is a parade that really likes to get the spectators involved. What kind of things do spectators do at this parade?
Well, besides just getting excited about what's going down, you know, one time it's Miss Idaho, another mm-hmm. time it's the Drum and Bugle Corps coming down and the parade. But what a lot of the spectators are waiting for is that last part and the water fight.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got
I'm a candy catcher myself.
Well, yeah. Natalie mentioned the candy, so I bypassed that. There's candy available, but we will always have that water section at the last. It's going to be hot that day, so I think people are going to jump into that.
Now, tell us about the parking situation. I know downtown is always pretty full of cars.
Yeah, well, we have to block off the section for the parade, and so it would be some surrounding parking garages and outside the parade on the side streets.
Give us that website one more time if people would like to still enter the parade or be a volunteer.
Yeah, it's libertydayparade.com.
All right. David Barrett and Natalie Boston, we thank you, and we look forward to a great parade on the 4th of July.
All right. Well, thank you for having us.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 8:50. We are headed toward staring right down the trigger toward the 4th of July holiday.
Mm-hmm. 4th of July coming up
getting
on
here.
Tuesday. We were just talking about that. The parade starting at 11 a.m. In Boise. The We the People 4th of July Liberty Day Parade. Love that name.
A lot of stuff going on today.
Yeah, the president yesterday highlighted what he called the dangers posed by illegal immigrants ahead of an important House vote on a couple of bills aimed at cracking down on those who commit crimes and cities that refuse to help deport them. In other words, what they call the sanctuary cities. And there's even, I guess, California qualifies pretty much as a sanctuary state because of the attitude of Governor Jerry Brown.
True.
There were a bunch of people arguing yesterday. I noticed on Twitter they were talking about how the president yesterday met with some family members of people who had been victims of crimes that were committed by illegal aliens. And then, you know, of course, there's always the opposition. And some guy says, yeah, have you met with the families of the people, the victims of crimes of, you know, by bankers? And, you know, it's just back and forth. It was kind of the left and the right and the left and the right. And you know, it was like watching a boxing match with a lot of lefts and a lot of rights.
A lot of lefts, a lot of rights, a lot of boredom.
Yeah, well, there's that, too. Yeah. Appearing with families that were victimized, the president called on lawmakers to honor grieving American families by sending the life-saving measures, as he called them, to his desk quickly. The House action marks the first major legislative test of tougher immigration laws under the current administration. They obviously have tried to impose sweeping executive orders to limit immigration and ramp up enforcement, and the various courts, including the Ninth Circuit, keep sending them back. Of course, the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, which is one of the sanctuary cities and the home of Jerry Brown, the governor, his office is in Sacramento, but he lives in San Francisco. The president told the families in the cabinet room, you lost the people that you love because our government refused to enforce our nation's immigration laws. For years, the pundits, journalists, politicians in Washington refused to hear your voices. But on Election Day 2016, your voices were heard all across the entire world. No one died in vain. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And the president's focus on immigration, a day after Republican leaders in the Senate postponed efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, illustrated the White House's eagerness to get back onto probably what is more comfortable footing. It's like they said, health care, no matter how you look at it, is complicated.
Some Democrats are starting to weaken, though.
Yeah. However, they don't feel necessarily like this issue is terribly complicated. It's like, well, okay, if people are here illegally, do you deport them or do you not?
Yeah.
How difficult is that? The president has consistently...
It all seems so simple.
Well, yeah.
When you reduce it to black and white.
The president has consistently employed strong rhetoric to paint immigrants, both those in the country illegally and some who arrive through legal channels, as potentially dangerous. There are people who call up and they say, well, don't call people this, don't call people that. I've always just used the term illegal aliens, because alien simply means you're not from here. You can be an alien from another planet, but in this case, it's just an alien from another country. And illegal simply means you came to this country without doing so according to the means of the law. And, you know, and like I said, 200 years ago, the law was a lot different. 100 years ago, the law was a lot different. Now it is what it is.
And next week, it'll be different again.
Well, and it's entirely possible, yes. The president's involvement has brought the pace of this up. And we're doing it this week because he wants it to happen. That was the word from Congressman Steve King of Iowa, who is a fierce advocate for strict immigration laws, and who co-sponsored the bills set to be passed today, or set to be voted on today. He says the members are ready for it, too.
I think everybody's ready for something.
Yeah.
Something please happen.
And
anything.
Yeah.
Almost anything. Something.
And also, Joe Arpaio, we know about him, the sheriff from Arizona. He is on trial right now simply because there are... There are people who have disagreed with his way of doing things, but his way of doing things, as far as he's concerned, also is a very simple issue. His way of doing things is, well, there is a law. I read it. I know what it is. And then I go out and enforce it. And, it's as simple as that, to him, at least.
Yeah. It's really funny. And Sanders is panning an FBI probe of his wife. Is pathetic, but the allegations against her are serious. What's going to happen there remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's true. Locally, we have Congressman Raul Labrador, and his legislation to limit refugee resettlement cleared the House Judiciary Committee yesterday, on a 15-11 party line vote, after Democrats on the panel criticized the measure as heartless and un-American. We're going to talk about this after the top of the hour news. Is it heartless? Is it un-American? Or is it something absolutely that as a nation we should be doing? 336-3700. We would like to hear from you.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back this morning. Got about an hour left in the show today. The divisions and infighting plaguing the GOP's efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare are contagious. The Democrats face a rift of their own on health care. Once unified, Democrats are splintering into competing factions over how to best move forward with progressive lawmakers and activists aligned with Senator Bernie Sanders. They told NBC News this morning, they see problems in the GOP as an opportunity to double down on their preferred health care reforms, like single-payer health insurance. They've shown little or no interest in negotiating with Republicans.
See, and I feel like if the last 2 weeks have shown us anything, it's that really this needs to be a bipartisan bill,
no
health care.
Absolutely.
All of these people should be getting together. I mean, everybody in the House, everybody in the Senate, and have some kind of input. It doesn't necessarily have to be exactly a Republican bill. It doesn't have to be exactly what it is now, which was a Democrat bill from when Barack Obama was the president. It should definitely have things in there that can make as many people as happy as possible, cover as many people as absolutely possible, and make it fair as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Several Senate Democrats, including Minority Leader Charles Schumer, have said they have in mind, and this is basically along what you just said,
right,
a variety of modest changes to Obamacare they would love to sit down and discuss with Republicans. Schumer even invited President Donald Trump to a bipartisan meeting with all senators. Mm-hmm.
And yesterday the president said that he doesn't see Schumer as even a serious person simply because, and this is what's funny is, and it's a lot of this.
I understand that.
Like between Schumer and between the president, they both have kind of a, there's no draw, there's win or lose on this. They kind of have that attitude. And they need to instead basically sit down and figure out, again, what, if anything, can possibly make everyone happy or satisfied.
Yeah, and that question, that thing just dangles out there.
It does, yeah.
Forever. Schumer, who played an instrumental role in quietly persuading all 48 Senate Democrats to remain together in opposition until the Senate GOP's proposal fell apart this week, said yesterday his party wanted to be part of talks with the president, mm-hmm. and they should be.
Well, and the thing that everybody, or not everybody, and clearly not everybody. In fact, Mike Crapo said he thought it was a pretty good plan when the Senate Republicans came out with their plan last week.
Yeah.
Jim Risch really hasn't said much about it at all. I think he's kind of waiting to see what happens, which a few of them are. But there are a number of senators, Mr. Heller down in Nevada and several others who have just simply said that because of what the Congressional Budget Office says about it, which is that it will the last plan, the plan that the House had, they said would kick 23 million people off of insurance that currently are insured. And so the Senate plan, which, was supposed to be quite a bit better, the CBO says that will still kick 22 million people off. And those numbers are too high for a lot of senators, even Republicans. They just say, listen, I mean, that would mean there are a couple million people in my state or a couple of million people in this state, and we can't go along with that. It has to be better. And the problem is, I mean, you can go in and negotiate for 2 or 3 weeks and come out and say, okay, we've got it down to where it's only 21 million people. And that's not what everybody's looking for. They're looking for sort of a compromise which would make it possible for the poorest of the poor to be insured and also for those who have a little more means to be able to choose for the marketplace to. And see, this is what we're running into. We're running into a conflict between the free market and complete socialism, because if you open up the free market, there are people who won't be able to afford things.
Yeah, and it dilutes.
Well, and that's kind of the way the free market works. There will be some people who, will not have the means to afford things. And essentially, that's what Medicaid and those programs have been for in the past. However, if you decide to go completely socialist, then, everybody is covered. And the way Australia does it, of course, everyone is covered. And if you have the means, you can buy your own kind of better insurance and, get faster appointments, better hospitals and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of people fundamentally are against socialism simply because this country is supposed to be a place where you can do for yourself and your family and not have it all taken away from you. So we've got both sides of the coin there.
Yeah, and Bernie Sanders, of course, is a big selling point.
Well, yeah, and he's a
single-payer socialism.
Yeah, and he's what's called a democratic socialist, which simply means that the government doesn't control everything, but the people decide what the government will pay for. And by the government, I mean you know, tax money.
Yeah. And then it dilutes, and then they hit some point and kickstart it and start over again.
Exactly. But right now, what you're hearing a lot of rhetoric right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you always do. But you're hearing people say, well, this bill is this is cruel because it'll still kick 22 million people off. And the problem was, and as I said, George Will put it very well the other day when he said, once you have, you know, as a government, once you have taken over control of something and have given it away to certain people, the hardest thing in the world is to take it back from them and change the way you do it. Because, and that's why things are called entitlements, because people get to a point where, okay, I understand that from now on here, I am entitled to this. And so I will operate as such. You know, I will, I will save money for this is what I need, and this is what I need, and this is what I need, and these other things are taken care of. And that has changed rapidly in the past 10 years.
It has. And rapidly enough?
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe too rapidly. It depends. I mean, it depends if you're conservative. Yeah, way too rapidly. If you're liberal, it's probably going at a snail's pace, in your opinion.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
But again, part of the problem right now is that rather than come up with a compromise where, you know, as many people can be helped as possible, but as many people can be accommodated as possible, and it's fair, instead of that, what you are getting are both sides simply screaming at each other and saying, my way or the highway, and so all we get is the highway.
We're seeing warts. That's all we're seeing.
Essentially.
Seeing everybody's warts, nobody's ideas.
Right.
KBOI News Time, 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
It's a marvelous night for a moon day.
KBOI rewards code was what?
Legislate.
Legislate. Mm-hmm. LEGISLATE.
Dance to the music.
Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter legislate, earn today's 5,000 rewards.
Before the top of the hour, I mentioned Congressman Labrador. His legislation to limit refugee resettlement cleared the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. It was a 15-11 party line vote. Democrats on the panel criticized the measure as heartless and un-American. Republicans on the panel said, no, it isn't. Well, I mean, it was more eloquent than that, but the bill would reduce... The bill would reduce the maximum number of refugees resettled in the United States from 110,000 to 50,000 a year, which is a change that has been it's been sought by the president. Mm-hmm. And it would give states and local governments veto power over any refugee resettlement within their borders. It would step up security monitoring of resettled refugees until they qualify as permanent residents. And it would require a review of all prospective refugees' social media postings, among other provisions, which is kind of interesting. I don't know how many social media venues they would have to check for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, I mean, because if there's something terribly dangerous, it probably isn't going to be on Facebook. It's probably going to be on the dark web in some way. It's a good reform and modernization of the refugee system, Labrador said. As Americans, we have a long tradition of helping refugees who, through no fault of their own, are fleeing war and persecution and wish to become contributing members of our society. However, our first priority when it comes to America's refugee program is ensuring the safety and security of the American people. There are already documented cases of terrorists infiltrating the program, and with ISIS vowing to exploit it further, the time for congressional action is now. One of the Democrats, Representative Pramila Jayapal, a Democrat from Washington, called the bill an un-American assault on our country's bipartisan humanitarian record of welcoming those who are fleeing violence. She said right now one person is being displaced every 3 seconds in the world, and said, we are going to meet the 50,000 cap next week at a time when there is such turmoil in the world and such a need to welcome refugees. And yeah, we do have the reputation as a country that helps other countries, developing countries. We're a, you know, basically a fully developed country, as it were, you know, economically. Labrador said the current 110,000 figure was set by former President Obama, and that Labrador believes that Congress should set the figure, not the president, even though he would be setting it essentially where the current president wants it. We are taking the power back to Congress, he said. The president will ask for a number, and we will decide whether to accept it. The bill was reported out to the full House with just one amendment, which was sponsored by Congressman Labrador, to delete one section.
No figure.
Yeah, to delete one section that sought to limit when victims of violence in foreign countries could be considered refugees. Nearly a dozen other amendments proposed by Democrats on the panel were rejected along party lines. So everything was 15 to 11, 15 to 11, 15 to 11. Labrador's bill is co-sponsored by Representative Bob Goodlatte of Virginia, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. It also has drawn eight other Republican co-sponsors. Labrador introduced a similar bill last year, setting the maximum number of refugees at 60,000 a year, and it drew 25 co-sponsors, all of whom were Republicans, and it passed the Judiciary Committee last March but did not proceed beyond that. Democratic members of the House Judiciary Committee spoke out against the bill, but none of their proposed amendments were approved. When Jayapal proposed an amendment, Jayapal from Washington,
right,
she said would protect victims of sex trafficking and forced prostitution from being rejected for refugee status due to having committed crimes. Labrador told her he was willing to work with her on that issue, but not to accept her amendment, which he said would go beyond just those victims. And I think what Labrador, the point he is trying to make there, is if you start saying, well, it's okay if you've committed crimes, the problem there is that you encompass, I mean, you know, too wide of a circle of people. Now, she was talking about the ones who committed forced crimes. In other words, if you have been forced into prostitution, forced into some kind of a slavery,
exactly,
and what you were doing was illegal, the fact that you were forced into it, as far as she's concerned, should indicate that you are basically safe and that this is not your lifestyle. And Labrador, I believe, says, you know, we still need to check it out further. And it's you know, everybody, I think, wants to be careful, which makes sense. I don't think anybody wants to just simply open the borders and say it's a free-for-all. And by anybody, I mean not very many people, because somebody does, obviously. But Labrador said, I oppose the amendment, but I would invite the gentle lady to work with us to see if there's some language that we can do what you said in your words, which is not what the amendment does, he said. What you said in your words is that you're trying to protect victims of forced prostitution, and I think we can agree that maybe that's something we can do. But if you read the language of your amendment, it is much broader than that. It protects people from any crime they have committed, not just forced prostitution.
Yeah. We need to take a break. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:36.
Got some instant messages about the things that we've been talking about the immigration bills that are going through the refugee bills, I guess you should call them, that are going through Congress now, through the House, some of which have been written by Congressman Raul Labrador. And, of course, also we were talking about health care.
Right. We'll get to you in a minute, Rocky.
Mike Boise said, Trump tweet goes low against Mika and Joe, and that's Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski that are the...
That is so bizarre.
...the morning people on MSNBC.
Morning, Joe.
It says, morning, Joe. President Trump on Thursday assailed the television host Mika Brzezinski in unusually personal and vulgar terms. As MSNBC's Morning Joe was ending, Trump used Twitter to taunt Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, referring to them as low IQ, crazy Mika, along with psycho Joe, and saying that at one point Ms. Brzezinski was bleeding badly from a facelift. It says our lowball president is a low-class jerk with childlike reactions. He is the leader of the free world, not by a long shot.
This happened. It was like New Year's or something.
Yeah. Dave of Boise says we should not be looking at this as illegal immigration, but rather an invasion. It's a peaceful invasion, but an invasion nonetheless, and it will never end unless we do something drastic and right away. It may already be too late because who knows who is already anchored here in the U.S., but there will be a day that this is going to be a huge problem. Look at all the other places they are. It's their tactics to infiltrate a city and crawl into the woodwork like cockroaches. Our laws are actually on their side if they are here legally to help them achieve this. A lot of the problem with ISIS is ISIS in particular is that they recruit people and they recruit American citizens, and they do so over the internet. And apparently, I don't know how good they are, but they're good enough to get some people, which is why we have had some attacks here.
Yeah, true.
It wasn't people that came from another country, generally. David of Boise says, how come they don't say how many of those 22 million people that will lose health insurance did not want it in the first place? Why can't those same people get their insurance elsewhere? And I guess my only answer would be it's probably about money. HGM McCall says, just why are these 22-plus million going to be uninsured? The reasons. We need to know that. How many are uninsured right now with the Affordable Care Act? What about the cost of the new insurance? Australia, that's bizarre to think depending on your insurance, you will get better care. Gee, if I have cancer, I want the same good care that every citizen should get. In Australia, basically, what their health care program is based on is that no matter who you are, rich, middle class, poor, or something else, the one thing you will not do is go bankrupt because of medical bills. And Raul Labrador right now is on CNN, he's on Fox News and MSNBC, and he's talking about the immigration. Let's see, Boise Rabble Rouser says, knee-jerkville again and again regarding single-payer health care. Why, although he declares it socialism, it is not. For example, Medicare is a single-payer system into which all working Americans pay taxes to participate. It is administered and paid to private health care providers at an administrative cost of 3%. In a socialist system, the providers are government-owned, as it is true in the United Kingdom. Note, the overall administrative cost of American health care is 22% versus 3% for Medicare, while someone has to pay for those executive bonuses and fleets of corporate jets.
No question. Let's go to Rocky of Napa. Right. Rocky.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey, Rocky.
Listen now, just on the side, I remember somebody was talking about the Democratic Party, and I said, well, when did it become the Democratic Party when it's been the Democrat Party for 100 years? So he couldn't answer me that. I don't know when it became the Democratic Party. But anyway, the idea that Muslims can come over here is absurd, willy-nilly. I mean, when Obama was in office, he had Muslims come over here, but they weren't Christian. And the fact is, it was like 1% or less than 1%.
Actually, no Muslims are Christian.
Well, they're not, but they were from Muslim countries and they were being slaughtered.
Oh, okay, I see.
And they were Muslims. Some of them were Muslims and converted to Christianity.
Okay, gotcha.
But they didn't get over here, and they were murdered. And the genocide of the Christian community over there in Muslim countries is appalling.
Mm-hmm. In particular,
Obama did nothing.
In particular, a lot of the slaughter that happened in Egypt with what are called Coptic Christians.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, that was never addressed. Obama never said anything about it, and. And it's appalling. And this guy called him, and he called himself a Christian. Well, everybody that I know that is a Christian knows that he's a closet Muslim, and he supports the Muslims. So, I mean, what is going on now? We want Muslims to come over here and take over our country because that's their agenda, and that can be proven. I got plenty of proof on that. I got sources, pal. I got sources. I won't tell you, but they're we got to get a handle on this thing and understand that Islam is not something that just, well, we want to come over here and meld in with the country. They want to take. And what Muslim country do you want to go vacation at? I don't know any.
Well, maybe Dubai. That's pretty cool.
Dubai is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
In the United Arab Emirates, so.
They're pretty westernized, too, aren't they?
Yep.
That's the ones where they
have. That's their selling point.
They have buildings, high enough where you can see, pretty much the entire world.
Curvature of the earth.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, thanks, Rock. Got to take a break. It's 9:44.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we're back. KBOI in news time, 9:48. Let's go to Rich. Rich, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
All right, so we're back. KBOI in news time.
Hey, Rich. We're on that 10-second delay, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just barely got to the phone to turn it off.
Gotcha.
Well, Rocky needs to add a paperclip to his tinfoil hat for one thing.
I wasn't sure where he was going.
Well, he's got some proof of this stuff, but even on his Christian thing, the Christians in Syria don't want to leave. The Christians in Syria back Assad because he always protected them. You can look that up. I mean, that's
Assad doesn't want a caliphate. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's not one of these secular leaders, and he protected the Christians and the secular leaders that we hate, like Saddam Hussein. His number two guy was a Catholic. The leaders that we hate over there protected the Christians. I mean, so did Gaddafi.
Yeah,
they're not religious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the weird part of the Middle East is that when you have a dictator, generally he lets you have whatever religion you want, and then when you don't have a dictator and the dictator is deposed, you end up with a religious country, and it's of course all Islamic.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing about that. I think we would learn, we throw out Saddam Hussein and he kept that country under control. The Shia and the Sunni, they all live together in Baghdad. As soon as we go in there, then they separate and they go to war. I mean, it just happens. I mean, it's happened in every country that they've had, you know, Gaddafi and there's some other countries over there. The same thing has happened the dictators are able to keep the country under control. And you kind of have to be a dictator. You know, I mean, I hate to see dictators, but, you know, when you've got several factions that just will not get along.
Yeah, and the reason you have dictatorships is simply because most of the populace is not particularly educated. Now, in North America, it's a different story, and in Europe, it's a different story.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they don't have, yeah, we don't, we're not religiously controlled in most North America or European countries, you know, and that's kind of the only way to stop it, and that's what you have to do. But, I mean, you know, I thought it was kind of funny saying Obama wasn't a Christian. I mean, wouldn't a Christian help people of all religions escape? I mean, Rocky's even just think he should be helping Christians and not Muslims, that he's not a Christian because he was helping Muslim. I don't know. It just seems to me kind of opposite of what Christians sort of claim.
Yeah.
I've never had any Christians telling me that, well, you should just help Christians and ignore people of other religions. I just never heard that.
All right. Good stuff. Right. Thanks, Rich.
Mark Meridian said the problem with the Republican health plan is that it's basically just a tax cut for the 1%. On the backs of the working people, not much to compromise about. And let's see. Bob said, how about zero refugees for about 5 years so we can take care of our homeless veterans who, when entering the military, signed a blank check that included their lives? Taking care of homeless veterans is a terrific idea. I don't know that zero refugees would necessarily take care of it.
Tie it in with the refugee problem.
Yeah. How about, like, whatever it is we, let's decide on what may perhaps the government is just wasting money and then not do that.
Well, we know that's happening.
Well, except that very few people can actually agree on what is and what isn't waste. Like if you spend money and it's not on actual Americans, is that a waste? Some people say yes, it is. On the other hand, other people say, well, part of what we do in America, since we sort of have our act together as far as we're concerned, or at least, you know, seem to, mm-hmm. is that we do help out the rest of the world try to figure out how to get their act together. Although, admittedly, it is a very slow process.
Yes.
Micah Boyce, he says the Democrats are the real un-Americans with no compassion. They have forgotten already about the dead young woman in San Francisco who was murdered in broad daylight by an illegal alien. It was the Democrats' policies that killed that 9-year-old boy at the Boston Marathon by bringing in people who hate America and don't belong here. Okay.
That's oversimplification.
Well, possibly. And John says, why do we talk about health care when we are really talking about health insurance? And again, that's, yeah, we kind of interchange the two, and they're not interchangeable. Maybe the cost of health care is what we need to address. I see new, and I like that, too. Do I think that health care is a tad expensive? No, I think it's way too expensive. Maybe the cost of health care, he says, is what we need to address. I see new, very fancy hospitals all over the valley. Maybe they could charge less and we could afford insurance out of pocket. Growing up, my parents, a middle-income family, paid for our medical costs out of pocket. I think most everybody did.
Yeah, good luck with that today.
What is going on in that health care costs have increased so much more than our incomes? And, you know, and that's a strange thing. If you it's difficult to ask how much something costs at a hospital or at a doctor's office because there are so many different answers that you will get. It's kind of like, you know, if you ask somebody, well, how much is that car? Well, you have this, 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 and this. You know, how about just the sticker price? Can I just have that, please? But especially with health care or with health insurance, sometimes they charge an insurance company a certain rate, and then they will charge an individual paying with cash a certain rate.
Right.
And then they will, you know, it's all over the place, kind of.
Businesses, individuals, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right.
Yeah, that all changes. All changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And right now, as we said, let's see, Paul Ryan was just up and he was discussing what Representative Goodlatte and Representative Labrador, who was also up speaking, are talking about. And they are voting on that in the House today. It's about, and they call it immigration, but it's essentially about refugees. Labrador, right now we have a limit of about 110,000 refugees that we accept into the United States every year. And Raul Labrador says, why don't we, you know, since we're having a problem as far as we're concerned, vetting, even though I don't know that we necessarily are because it takes a couple of years to do so in the first place. But he says, since we're having a problem or at least a disagreement about this, why don't we reduce the number to 55,000 from 110? So cut it right in half. And you heard the instant message where he says, why don't we just put it to zero for 5 years? I don't know. That would be looked upon poorly by a lot of people, but considering that not all of them are Americans, you know, it would be looked upon very favorably by a lot of Americans, but not all, again.
9:55, Open Phones Friday, coming up tomorrow, right here on Newstalk 670 KBOI.
At Peterson Chevrolet Buick.